president's deficit-cutting plan, a roadmap for the future, with a few political roadblocks built in.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. In a few hours, President Obama will unveil a new plan to slash trillions of dollars from the federal deficit over the next decade. Washington needs to show that it's serious about getting its fiscal house in order after that S&P downgrade of the U.S. credit rating last month. Let's get the details now from our Washington Bureau Chief, John Dimsdale. Good morning, John.
Hello, Jeremy.
Well, what do we know about what the president is going to be proposing later this morning?
He's hoping to cut deficits by $3 trillion above the $1.5 trillion that the bipartisan Congressional Supercommittee is going for over the next 10 years. About a third of the president's savings will come from troop drawdowns in Iraq and Afghanistan. He gets about half of his deficit reduction from tax increases, some of those we've heard about in the past, letting the Bush tax cuts expire for the wealthy, getting rid of breaks for oil and gas companies. The president will also propose a new minimum tax on millionaires and billionaires. It's called the Buffett Rule, after Warren Buffett, who says that the rich should pay more for government programs. And the president will also find some savings in Medicare, although he says he won't cut Social Security.
Okay, John, stand by. I want to get some reaction now from Harvard economist Ken Rogoff. Professor Rogoff, no cuts to Social Security, more tax increases on the wealthy, and troop drawdowns. That sounds like a plan Republicans are just going to love.
Indeed. Well, I mean, the troop drawdowns, for example, certainly something we hope for, but I don't think the world has particularly become a safer place. I do think taxes do have to go up, and the right way to have them go up is by reducing the loopholes, the exemptions, the ways people can avoid paying taxes, rather than raising the rates. He's doing both. I think ultimately Republicans on the supercommittee will go along with getting rid of some of the exemptions. I think raising the rates is going to be a tough sell.
But do you think that what we're hearing today from the president is really more about the 2012 campaign than getting the deficit under control now?
Well, of course it is, but at the same time, he's laying out a reasonably centrist position. It's pretty obvious that tax collection has to go up. You can't do it all with cutting government spending. And the troop reductions, I think, is a bit of a campaign thing because they're going to come out of one area. They could well go into another. But, you know, he's trying to lay out his view. And I think it's high time he did that, whether one agrees with it or not, rather than simply turn it over to the Senate and the House for what they want to do.
Harvard economist Ken Rogoff and Marketplace Washington Bureau Chief John Dimsdale, thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down across Europe and Asia this morning, about 1.5% lower right now in London, ahead of what is already being called a critical week for the European debt crisis. Meanwhile, Netflix is spinning off its DVD by mail service from its online streaming service. It's calling the DVD service Quickster, spelled with a QW. On Wall Street Friday, the DOW jumped 75 points to close at 11,509.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect. And by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com.
Here in Los Angeles, the Emmys have wrapped up, and now it's time to focus on the fall television season. There will be plenty of new shows, and to go with them, new music. But buying the rights to use that music means TV studios have to think far into the future, as Blake Farmer reports now from WPLN in Nashville.
TV shows may start on the air, but they can have a lucrative afterlife on DVD. It wasn't always that way. Oh, baby, hi. Remember following Kevin Arnold through puberty in The Wonder Years?
Which was a wonderful show, but unfortunately used tons and tons of that period music.
Gord Lacey is the founder of TVShowsOnDVD.com. He says we can't relive Kevin chasing after Winnie Cooper on DVD because the show only licensed the music for broadcast.
DVDs didn't exist. Why would you pay money to license music for something that doesn't even exist yet?
Shows like China Beach and WKRP in Cincinnati may never see their way into the digital domain because licensing the music now would make them unprofitable. Today's legal agreements throw in everything.
The terminology typically is all media now known or hereafter devised in perpetuity throughout the universe.
Ron Prue is one of the people who finds the perfect song to put behind high emotion moments. Increasingly, music supervisors find themselves working with relative unknowns. Indie artists Amy Stroop and Trent Dabbs have had placements all over prime time, including this one on the last season of Grey's Anatomy. Ron Prue says TV studios see a bargain.
Indie is another word for inexpensive.
The To Infinity and Beyond licensing deals mean tens of thousands of dollars for a major label name instead of a couple thousand for someone like Amy Stroop. And she says there aren't nearly as many lawyers involved.
There's a lot less doors to open. Can we use a song? Yep, there you go. And the independent artist is going, yes, this is awesome.
It's unbelievable exposure for artists who often play in the corner of a bar. And the exposure doesn't stop. It can live on with the DVD box set. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
And finally, you may have heard of social media crazes like planking, where people get their photo taken laying flat like a plank and post it online. Well, the new big thing is coning. That's where you go to a drive-through restaurant and order an ice cream cone, and then when you go pick it up, you grab it by the ice cream instead of the cone. At least one McDonald's in New Jersey has caught on to the trend. In a video that we've got up at marketplace.org, an employee there refuses to let the customer grab the cone by the ice cream. You know the old saying, cone me once, shame on you. Cone me twice, no more cones for you. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Time to play with the kids or just read a good book. How much is that worth?
We always say, what would you rather have, more money or more time? And I bet you people will always say more time.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Wealth or well-being? And the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.